This episode is brought to you by Heidy. Imagine kicking back while a HIPAA-compliant AI scribe writes your soap notes for free. Yes, you heard us right. Heidy is free. I'm Dr. Tom, Heidi's CEO and founder, and we started Heidy to stop clinicians wasting their life on clinical documentation. Heidy transforms your consult babble into crisp, clear soap notes, personalizing itself with every edit. One day, Heidy will be your AI resident, looking through research, explaining plans, and doing anything you don't want to. If you currently pay for an AI scribe in your practice, you should swap to Heidy. We'll even credit you for anything you've already paid. Dive into the description for the link and make your practice the envy of every stethoscope in town. Sign up and watch Heidy work its magic, all for free, because you've got better things to do.
As physicians, we spend a lot of our day doing data entry. Dr. Tom Kelly of Heidy Health is going to end that with his ambient AI, and he's going to tell us about it on today's sponsored episode. Hey, this is Brad Block, host of The Physician's Guide to Doctoring. This is a personal and professional development podcast for physicians where we have experts on the show that try to teach us everything we should have been learning while we were memorizing Krebs cycle. Welcome back to the podcast. And on today's episode, we have something super cool, a look into the future, partially because he's recording from Australia and he is literally in the future. He's in tomorrow. And this is a sponsored episode. But on today's episode, we are going to be talking about an AI scribe. And this is the future of medicine, because what they're looking to do is offload all the stuff that we hate doing. A lot of the stuff that leads to physician burnout is going to be taken care of by this AI scribe. So on today's show, we have Dr. Thomas Kelly. He's the CEO and a co-founder of Heidy Health. He's worked as a surgical registrar, we would call that a resident, and had a lifelong interest in deep learning, mathematics, and business. And before founding Heidy, he was the successful CEO of a firm that provided clinical educational services for medical students. It was called Oscar AI, although Oscar's with an E. He's unwavering in his commitment to revolutionizing healthcare by providing healthcare professionals with tools to forever improve the way that we practice and treat patients. So, Dr. Tom Kelly, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Brad. Excited to talk to you all, from the future.
So tell us about the origins of Heidy. And let's just start with her name. Like, does she have Swiss roots?
So we definitely wanted it to be embodied, part of the features of Heidy is talking to us and asking us to do different things. And we didn't particularly like the inhuman names of ChatGPT or, those different things. So one of our first products was doing pre-consultation. So before a visit, we would take the history of the patient. And so we sort of took the history. So that was HI. And then we helped the doctor get to a diagnosis, DI. So someone at some point suggested HIDI, like HIDI or HIDI or something like that. Yeah, the name Heidy just stuck. Domain was free. We're like, all right, that's it. Let's get it.
Humanizing the robots a little bit. Okay, all right. What about the origin of the program? So you're saying it started off as just a way to hasten up history taking a little bit.
So I think we always had the same vision. Being a clinician of any type comes with a lot of heartache, the documentation, anniversaries, dinners, things that you miss because you're stuck doing your consulting, all the things that keep us up at night, reviewing results, doing all these things that aren't really what we always signed up for. I was working in outpatient clinics, so a lot of post-surgical visits or pre-admission clinics, those kinds of things. Usually, I would always have 2 or 3 hours of debt at the end of my day just doing different administrative tasks. And my undergraduate studies had been in a lot of different neural networks and some the early chatbots that we all hated, talking to airport chats, trying to change my flight or something like that. And so, around 2019 range, we built an early prototype, which wasn't quite ready for prime time. It couldn't completely automate the history taking, wasn't quite good enough, but it was definitely, there was a path where as these things got better, computers got more powerful, it would definitely be able to do a lot of the different things that I didn't like at work.
Wow, you guys were on the precipice. You guys were really on the cutting edge there, right? If you were able to almost get it right because the technology was almost there. That just tells us how revolutionary you were at the time.
If I could have bet some money on it, it would have been a good winner. But anyway, doesn't matter. I didn't buy NVIDIA stock, so missed that opportunity. So the benefit I had was we had done these kind of chatbot and other automated experiences before. So we just had that early taste of it. And even back then, I was always impressed. It was a bit better than I thought. Like, my impression of it as a user was that it wasn't very good. But then when I tried to build the tools, it was actually like pretty decent. Anyway, so long story short, I became quite obsessed with it. And as I worked more and more, the kind of exciting parts of medicine became more algorithmic. As you kind of get more experience, you start to realize that being a great doctor is, you know, following treatment guidelines. You usually, give or take, roughly know what's going on, what you should investigate. It becomes more algorithmic. So I was finding less and less joy in the medical parts and more frustration in the administrative burden of my care. And then in the other direction, these tools were getting better and better. Really in like 2020, decided like, that's it, we've got to do this. And myself and the other co-founders, Waleed and you, spent time together, built the product, raised a bit of money to quit our jobs and start trying to get clinicians using Heidi, and yeah, never look back.
It's interesting that you put it that way. So I had an episode a while ago with another ENT like myself. His name is John Schneider. And what we were talking about is heuristics, that we tend to see the same things over and over. So much to the point that you notice these patterns. And then, you know, when you're a resident, you're trying to figure it out. It takes like a big cognitive load to try and figure out like what's happening with this patient. What do I do with them? And then as you do it more and more, you just identify these patterns just faster and faster, to the point where you walk into the room, you're like, I know exactly what's going on with this patient. I know what the treatment plan is going to be. I know you still need to build that rapport with the patient. But yes, that becomes less and less stimulating. So you impressively identified that really early on and were like, ah, this is the stuff that's going to be continually stimulating, where you're like pushing the envelope on the technology. I think that's really cool. So the process though, and this might be semantics, so you can call me out on this question if that's the case, but are we augmenting the process of like of note writing and history taking, and or are we automating it?
Yeah, that's a good question. So definitely augmenting. Yeah, like in no way, like my experience in medicine, so I was a vascular surgery resident, and one of the biggest gripes I had receiving phone calls was that clinicians hadn't felt the pulse. So they're referring me a cold limb, but I said, does it have a pulse? And then I'd probably forgotten to do that really important thing. To be honest, even if they said that it did, I wouldn't trust them anyway. So I would always just have to go see it myself.
But it still bothers you. They didn't even make the attempt. At least pretend to make the attempt. Yeah.
Is there any blood in the toes? Like, come on. But yeah, I think it's definitely not going to replace that part. Also, assuming some futuristic world where these AIs are perfect and they could hypothetically do all these things, I'm just not confident that human beings want to be treated by robots and software. Like, there is some therapeutic, non-really significant impact that comes from just talking to another person, sharing your experiences, suffering, etc. Even if it does end up that a lot of the human clinical input is maybe slightly less on like the reasoning, computing what's going on side over time, but then you're spending more time doing the therapeutic stuff and the procedures and the other things. I think that's the fun part of medicine. That's the bit I miss, you know, being that support, kind of the invisible cape in my back as I walk in and out of the room. So yeah, like the intention was always to try to solve the jobs that we dislike the most, that we hate. So the most obvious ones initially is, you know, those progress notes, charting, complicated like prior authorization, referrals between different clinicians. Like, it's just things that soak up so much time. It's not really like what I studied to do. It just sucks. Like, it's not part of that patient interaction. That's what I see it kind of augmenting, maybe automating. And then even in the most sci-fi version, I still just think it puts the human doctor at the center of all these powerful tools doing different things for their patients or for themselves.
So a couple of things. One, if the listener is someone who feels like, well, I don't know if my superpower is really like listening and empathy and having the patient feel like I really care, listen to like all of my back episodes, because this is what we talk about on the show all the time, is how to do that better. So we have lots of material to help you in that way that would be irreplaceable, at least seemingly anytime soon, by the robot. And two, data entry. We train as physicians, and anyone who would have been like our colleague that would have achieved academically as well as us in order to become a physician, whatever they're doing now, you know, they probably have someone for the data entry. They have someone. And oftentimes we don't. We're doing our own data entry. We're doing our own grunt work. So thankfully, you know, Dr. Tom here has something to help us to replace that. And the third thing you said about the prior authorization, I can just imagine like how they're going to, the insurance companies are going to scale up their AI. So our AI is going to talk to their, it's going to be like an AI arms race for prior authorizations where like we're completely cut out of it. But then we're going to need to get back involved because it doesn't end up with the outcome that we want because their job is to try and deny things so they don't have to pay for it. And so if we're able to easily overcome this barrier, they're going to just make a new barrier. So then it becomes this arms race.
But you definitely don't want to be dealing with the AI without assistance because it'll be very frustrating.
So you guys offer Heidi for free. And my first thought was that, oh, that's because they're data mining. Like this is like Westworld where you put on that hat and it's like reading your mind and it's learning everything about human behavior from you. And that's really what it's all about. It's learning. And you're like, no, definitely not. We are privacy compliant. That is not what's happening. This is just how you conduct business. Like you have the introductory level. And then if you like it, then you can kind of, so actually in your words, you tell us how you made it free.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I think, yeah, with these tools, you know, recording a cons visit is just the most intimate thing. And no clinicians will use the products. Like the thousands of clinicians that use it today would be very annoyed at us if we did anything like that. We just think it's the best way to build software products. So, you know, I think the most famous Australian company that has an accent like mine is Canva. So they do design. Some people might have used it. Also Atlassian, there's a few. Really like the best software, it sells itself. Like tools that we use every single day, people usually pay for. You know, if there are features and things they can do that would make it 10% better, even if it's a few hundred dollars or, you know, let's say in Heidi's case, $69 a month to be able to chat to Heidi's AI and create unlimited custom templates and be able to share your visit summaries with patients. Like there are a couple of paywall things that just basic generating the visit note really well and giving enough options to kind of get what you want there with SOAP or issues lists or kind of whatever you want based on what clinician you are. For me, it seemed intuitive that was going to end up being free anyway. So, you know, with different AI assistants that are out there, you know, Google, Perplexity, ChatGPT, Anthropic, there are a lot of people trying to get your attention to use AI. And if you're enterprising enough, you can already kind of figure out how to do this for free. So we kind of skipped the race. We just went straight to the bottom and basically just betting on ourselves to build a better product for end clinician users. And part of it is also like we really are clinician obsessed. Like I'm a doctor myself. You know, I have to tell mom and dad why I'm not a vascular surgeon every day. So my plan is just to make the absolute, like the tool that we secretly use, even if another service is forced on us by the hospital, because I used to just hate all the software that, you know, the CEO of the hospital had chosen for me because it just never worked. A good example is I think we used to use Yammer, I think, which was like it's Teams or Slack alternative. And no one used it. Like everyone just used WhatsApp because it was a disaster. No one could log into it. It was just too slow. So similar kind of thing. I don't, like hospitals aren't our customer. Clinicians are our customer. We do EHR integrations. Like we can sell to a hospital, but it's just, I'm not going to bow the knee to the CIO to build 7 million features that they ultimately don't want. I want the clinicians to love Heidi first and then we'll go up and convince your higher-ups to verify us.
In the world of medicine, where every decision can change lives, your peace of mind is crucial. This is where Pattern steps in. Imagine insurance made simple, fast, and personalized, just for you. With Pattern, you're not just getting disability and life insurance, you're ensuring your future and protecting your greatest asset, your income. In the past 10 years, Pattern has transformed the way over 20,000 doctors secure their financial well-being. Discover the simplicity of securing your future at patternlife.com or click the link in the description. As a voice of the clinicians, we greatly appreciate that because we've all fell victim to the back end is great. So let's, you know, you got to figure out how to work with the front end because at least the billing aspect is good. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm sure we've all had that experience.
So you mentioned like people wouldn't be okay with Heidi listening and recording and keeping information.
Yeah, sorry, I got a bit off track, got a bit excited. So yeah, so you can delete all the sessions. We're pretty close to releasing a feature that will just automatically delete sort of all the record associated with your account as you do the visit. So basically all that's left is what you've copy-pasted or sent to your record. And we do like the idea of putting that in the hands of the clinician. So it's actually quite variable. We found some people like the idea of having sort of like an external memory. So storing all of these transcripts, there is some benefit, like you can do audits and you can look back in time and find patients who had certain conditions or presentations. Or if you're, let's say, doing something longitudinal with a patient and you're trying to remember, like, did they say that they had this or that symptom? Or how, like, when I first saw them, how did they describe that back pain? Like, was it flank pain or was it really in their back? So all these little details that are captured in like the full richness of the transcript, sometimes people like to store that info. And obviously it's up to us, like it's an existential risk to us to make sure that that is as secure and safe as possible. So we do have an ISO certification. So that means like white hat hackers hack us and try to get our data on at least a yearly basis, maybe more frequently. We get audited. And so we basically try to do everything we can to kind of tick the compliance and security boxes, give the users the options. And then probably the other part of making it free that I really like is there's a big health equity thing here. So there are a lot of clinicians, mid-level providers and others that maybe don't earn as well as the physicians in the room. So maybe $1,000 subscription is not a big deal to some clinicians, but it can be quite a lot to different nurses or MAs. Or I just love the idea that they still get the benefit of, you know, being able to spend time with their kids or not having to fuss about all the work that's built up over the day. I believe one day we'll find a way. We don't have to make money out of every user. You know, the 10% pay, 90% don't, that's fine.
And then in the States, you've got like federally qualified health centers, you've got, you know, county hospitals that, you know, that might not have the budgets that other places do. So, you know, equity is a big deal here. So we appreciate that as well. So thank you. Okay, so how does Heidi listen? Like, what is there, like a device? Are you using just the mic on your computer? How does Heidi listen?
So we have a transcription model. So basically it's got a microphone. You need a microphone for it to work. Or actually you can upload recordings and soon you'll be able to upload transcripts as well. But for that to work, you still have to have had a mic recording the session. So
you just get an external mic. Like it's not like you have a specific device that...
No. So you can use, I don't know if you use Dell computers a lot. That was the common one in our hospitals and clinics. Just that tiny, you know, like the tiny dot microphone that sounds like it's underwater and a kilometer away, but it actually works pretty well, surprisingly. So the models we use are quite good at dealing with noise and difficult accents and multiple speakers and all these things. So pretty much if you have a mic, it'll work. If you have a nice conference mic that's USB plugged in and well positioned, sure, it'll probably do a little better on the really hard medicines or words that aren't that common. But yeah, it's pretty easy to set up. When you first try to start a session, we'll show you what microphone we're using and we'll go to some lengths to not let you accidentally record without a microphone, which happens more than you think.
Yeah, I mean, it happens to podcasters all the time, you know, forgetting to hit the record button or something like that. From a software perspective, right? How does it even know what to include or what not to include? Because there's small talk and then maybe we'll start talking about issue A and then we'll go over to issue B and then to issue C and then back to A. Like some people come in, you know, I always use my own specialty as an example. Some people come in with dizziness and ear pain. Now you would think, right, that could be the same problem, but no, it never is. 0% of the time, if you're dizzy and you have ear pain, they are two separate and distinct problems. So how would Heidi know to like compartmentalize that and then not put in the bit about like talking about the recent football game?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like I was trying to stitch together diagnosis like labyrinthitis or like, you know.
Telling you, the answer is that there's nothing.
I think it's Hickam's dictum. Like it's the most complicated possible answer is usually the correct one.
Higgs boson, is that?
Yeah.
No, sorry.
Yeah, something like that. No, I think so. The way to think of these AI models is it's honestly like me or you reading the transcript. So it's not quite as good as a real clinician, although increasingly it is becoming like that. You know, if one of us read this transcript, assuming the transcript was good, it's kind of step one. If the transcript was good, usually we'd be able to figure out like with a highlighter which bits are clinically relevant, which bits are not. And then when it comes to synthesis, so we go to quite large lengths to make sure that we don't introduce bias or like new information that wasn't in the transcript. So we spend heaps of time doing that, mainly because just clinicians hate it. Like they hate if like I'm getting management and diagnosis and stuff that I wasn't talking about in my note, not to mention all the regulatory and other problems with that. So we look at the transcript. The models are very good at kind of collating and figuring out what goes where. And then one thing that I think I love about Heidi that I haven't seen in most of the others is just like a lot of flexibility in what you output. So you can, even in the free, you can choose between 5 different note types, and we'll do our best first shot at trying to structure your note. So it's like kind of like a one shot. The best way to think of Heidi is like a resident. If a resident was paying attention, listening, making notes, they're not always going to pick up exactly what you were thinking if you don't say it out loud, but they'll try to kind of order everything. But then we do have ways that you can influence the note. So when you click stop, you can wait for the patient to leave the room and then resume and give some of your thoughts. So you can kind of like talk to Heidi with your voice and say like, okay, based on this visit, although the patient said they had chest pain, actually they were pointing to their abdomen. So I'm not worried about acute coronary syndrome or any associated cardiac conditions. And like this person's, you know, a hypochondriac. I see them all the time. They walked in under their own power. Like I'm really not worried about this person. And then you click stop and it will actually influence the note. It will tone down the urgency. Or you could do the opposite. You could say this patient like didn't present badly, but they look gray. I'm worried about them. Like they were hypotensive. I'm going to admit them to hospital. And then you click stop and it'll include that in the note as well. Yeah, like it's just, it's a brave new world, you know, like these models. The way to think of it is like it's a statistical thing. They've just seen in open internet lots and lots of examples. And then obviously with the permission of our users, if you opt in for training in the settings, we do include de-identified examples for our own models. So as consults happen, we do actually make the product better at writing notes. Like it's a little creepy, but cool, useful. And then, sorry, the last thing is if it does categorize the ear pain and like hearing loss or in vertigo together incorrectly, then that's one of our pro features. So you can chat to Heidi. We call it Ask AI. So you can write any prompt you like and just say, actually, I think these are two separate issues. Can you separate the vertigo and the ear pain? And then it'll rewrite it with that separated for you.
Got it. So I'm not sure I totally understood everything. So she's active, and I think we should call her it though. Yeah. Just, I think it is creeping me out though that we're humanizing her a little too much. Although it's hard to say now that we've like committed. Heidi will learn my style over time, like as I make edits and corrections. Is that what you said?
Yeah, we do. And yeah, we're like, that's part of that sort of free strategy for us. Again, not about mining data. Like this is all with your permission if you want to do this, but the benefit is if we make it easier for you to do lots of consults, then the quicker we can make notes that just feel better. Again, it's like a resident. You know, the first day you're with a new resident, again, they don't know you. They don't know your preferences. You can't trust them. You have to be on every ward round. You know, you have to read every line, that kind of thing. But then as you do edits, as we log your behaviors, your preferences, you know, Dr. Block always seems to separate all his issues by symptom individually, doesn't do condition names and issues, prefers 23M instead of 23-year-old male, like all these little details. They do matter. A lot of clinicians are obsessed by these things. Like the hat just has to write like me. Otherwise, I'm not going to use it. So it does personalize over time. There's for the future things we want to do, there's a lot of exciting things that can be learned from the way that you use Heidi.
And it sounds like some of the things that we'll need to do in the exam room with the patient are actually going to be to the patient's benefit, right? Like you said, well, patient wasn't exactly pointing to their chest. They were pointing to their abdomen. You know, if you can integrate that into the visit, then it's not going to take more time after the visit. And I think we will get more adept at doing it during the encounter rather than taking more time after the encounter, right? Because you already have to dictate your physical exam, right? Like, oh, I'm looking in the mouth. I see the tonsils aren't very big and the breath is pretty bad and whatever you might say, but now you're going to have to tailor that a little bit so that nobody's offended. But, you know, then the patient's hearing what you're seeing as you're seeing it, and then also the decision making. You know, the urgency seems to be a lot more than the patient's expressing because they don't look as quite as good as they feel. So we're going to be sending them to the emergency room, right? The patient's hearing that as you're making those decisions out loud. And I think over time, we'll get more adept at doing it in a way that is socially acceptable. Rather than,
like, it's pretty good at figuring out your interpretation of what's going on based on what you say, as we all do, you know, our synthesis impression plan, as we kind of sum up what we thought was happening in the room. It does influence upstream how it writes about the symptoms and documents the findings, because obviously if at the end of a 10 out of 10 chest pain visit, your synthesis is like monitor pain and come back in a couple of days, then obviously it always assumes that you're a great doctor and you have done the right thing and you've thought of all of the conditions it could be. Whether that's a great assumption, who knows? But it will think about how you've interpreted it and then modify the note. And again, all of this isn't, it's just to write the best note. Like, that's the goal. If we wrote a note that's like, you know, 10 out of 10 chest pain, urgent, like, you know, felt like worrying, then you're not going to use it because your visit was that this person is not someone I'm worried about.
Yeah, clearly indigestion or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. It's like trying to figure out based on just listening alone, like if we were doing that task, just listening to the visit like a resident, like what's going on here? What does the doctor think is happening? You kind of have to do a bit of mind reading to figure out what's going on.
Except unlike a resident, Heidi doesn't graduate, nor does she leave to start a tech company.
Correct. Exactly. Doesn't do what I did.
So any final thoughts, you know, final things that you want to tell us about Heidi that we haven't covered yet, including where we get.
So yeah, just you should go on the website. It's Heidi, like the girl's name, HeidiHealth.com. We'll put all the details in the show notes. Yeah, it's free to get started. You don't have to do a demo or anything. Again, that's a red flag for me. You should be able to try the product immediately. And yeah, use it for free. We're not going to force you to pay. If you want help setting up like custom templates and things like that, we're very happy to help. We have a chat bar so you can chat to us anytime. And yeah, because we know everyone has their own quirks about how they like it to write for them. And yeah, I think the future for us is really leaning into that AI resident. I know I said it a lot of times. I think the benefit of me being a clinician and, you know, again, back to telling mum and dad why I'm not a vascular surgeon is I think we have more than one trick in our book. We have a lot of AI ideas that are non-obvious. Whereas I think for the non-clinician that mostly run these companies that I've seen, it's like the obvious thing. Like, you know, they've been spending 5 to 10 years doing notes and it's only notes. But I think there's a lot more here. Whether it's ordering labs or sharing summaries with patients or manning your reception phone calls with AI that ask the questions you would ask because it has the context of your visits. There's a lot here. So that's why, again, why we make the basic thing free, because we're confident that there's going to be a lot in Heidi and a lot of things you can do over time. And yeah, if you have any feedback, questions, whatever, just message us on the page. I come to the States every couple of months for a few months. I'm starting to split my time because we're getting lots of US users. I think we're setting up an office in the US as well. Yeah, so don't be a stranger. If happy to come visit different practices, understand how it can work for you.
Amazing. Well, Dr. Thomas Kelly, Heidi Health, thank you so much for your time and doing something that's going to make our lives a lot easier and a lot better.
Thanks so much, Brad. Really appreciate it.
Thanks again from Heidi. Elevate your practice with a free AI scribe, zero cost, HIPAA compliant, and time saving. Ready to swap? We've got you covered for past AI scribe expenses. Head to HeidiHealth.com, get started, and make your practice the envy of every stethoscope in town.
Thanks for listening. I have a favor to ask. You listened to the episode until the end, which means you either fell asleep or you really liked the episode. So please share it or like it or comment on a social media post. Or write us a 5-star review, something. It would really help me out. And maybe what you learned from this episode can help someone else too. The views expressed in this episode are those of the interviewer and interviewee and don't represent the views of their employer or even their significant other. Even though the magic of podcasting make it sound like I'm talking directly to you, this is not a doctor-patient relationship and this is not medical advice or financial advice or really any advice. Thank us again for listening to The Physician's Guide to Doctoring.